You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
During these weeks before Christmas, often called the Advent season, we've been talking on this broadcast about the most important human unit of life on earth, the family. The more important your family is to you, the more stable and sure-footed your own life is likely to be. This is not an accident. People have been set by God, said St. Paul, in families. Even God's Son, Jesus Christ, whose birthday we are preparing to celebrate, became a member of a family. We are told that he was an obedient son, not only to his Father in heaven, but also to his mother on earth, and to Joseph, whom he recognized as the father of that family. Raised in that family, he became the responsible man that he was, growing in stature and in favor with both God and man. If I read it correctly, the boy Jesus made his own contribution to family unity, as did his parents, practicing harmony as a habit of everyday life. The 133rd Psalm, credited to David, recognizes the value of harmony among all who make any claim at all to being God's people. It says, "How wonderful it is, how pleasant for God's people to live together in harmony." As we talk about the family, we think about all kinds of families. Families with a mother, father, and children. Single-parent households. Families in which each spouse has remarried and brings children from the former marriage. The extended family. The childless couple. And many other kinds of households. We are talking today about any situation in which people live together. Harmony is of various kinds, just as families take on various forms. People of various kinds make up those families. None of us is exactly like the other. In his wisdom and also out of his boundless kindness, God arranged things that way. Humanity is made up of men and women, none exactly like the other. Not everybody is a soprano and not everybody a tenor. Not everybody is an alto, and not everybody, thank God, is a bass. Yet out of all those varieties can grow a wonderful harmony. Voices, like actions, can be blended in a beautiful way. Combining everything makes the song more complete. To live in harmony, people don't have to be all alike. It's good that we're not all alike. It has been said, when two people agree about everything, one is unnecessary. People can be different without competing destructively on every inch of ground on this good earth. They can complete and enrich one another. Through his kindness, God has made each of us a significant human being, an individual. And then he has set us in families that we might learn to live with one another as people can be expected to live when they have come to know God as a loving Father and do not disown his gracious will for each of us individually and all of us put together. First of all, it is important for good family life that members of the family recognize the humanity of it all. We are all imperfect human beings, in no position to demand perfection of someone else. Only God can demand perfection. He supplies that need with love and forgiveness he sends to the world in his Son Jesus. He gives love to parents and children, leading them along the path of forgiveness, without which happy family life is practically impossible. When irritations arise in a family, as they do, often caused by inconsiderate words or actions, nothing works so well to compose things as genuine forgiveness. A forgiving spirit responds readily to a genuine and honest I'm sorry. Nothing is more characteristically human than admitting you could be wrong. And nothing more characteristically divine than forgiveness to break the cycle of pain and to start out on a new track. That new track is practicing harmony and making it a habit. As you can see, something like this does not just happen. Repentance and forgiveness do not just happen. And making a habit of harmony does not just happen either. It has to be practiced and cultivated. It is like painting a picture, which is never quite finished, but eventually it does take on the quality of a work of art. The art of making harmony a habit in a human family is practically divine. In fact, it is divine in a practical way. It comes from God, who is the master of harmony. He wants family life to be a thing of beauty, with the cultivation of kindness that he extends to the whole world in both the mystery and the wonder of incarnation of his Son Jesus as the Savior of the world. Kindness offered by the ever-righteous God is the salvation of the world. The kindness of forgiveness is offered to the world without money and without price by the Son who died for the world. The kindness of life in Christ is offered by the ever-powerful God in the gospel of his Son, raised from the dead for the life of the world. The kindness of God is to be seen in all of its intimacy and all of its healing power in family life, where harmony is practiced as a habit. Not so long ago, a pastor told me about his conversations with a husband and wife who are living in disharmony. It is the second marriage for both of them. Each has one child from the first marriage. They also have a child from their present marriage. The couple talk to each other a few times a week. Every discussion ends in an argument. The wife owns a house in the place where she formerly lived, which the couple now need to sell. They can't agree on a sale price. The woman's mother meddles in their lives, greatly aggravating the situation. The mother-in-law says the man ought to get lost and stay out of her daughter's life once and for all. The children in this household are being damaged most of all. The wife's 17-year-old son from the first marriage has fallen in with a bad crowd. He smokes pot, steals, and has been in jail a few times. The little girl of their second marriage no longer wants to see her father. Children bear the scars of an unhappy home as long as they live. Someone has said, if a child lives with criticism, it learns to condemn. If a child lives with ridicule, it learns to be shy. If a child lives with hostility, it learns to fight. Some homes are torn by strife, broken by divorce, or struggling with separation. It's easy to stand in judgment on such people. The Christ-like way would be to declare in all humility, "There but for the grace of God go I." If you have been the victim of an unhappy family, make the most of what you have left. You can rest assured, God still loves you. That is the message of the cradle at Bethlehem, and of the cross where the man died who was born at Bethlehem. At the open tomb, God showed his hand by raising that man from the dead. No matter what happens in the world, Jesus will still be Lord. He has the power to turn the worst evil into the greatest good. How wonderful it is, how pleasant, when brothers and sisters, family members, live together in harmony. They enjoy companionship. They share their joys and their sorrows. They support and encourage one another. The home in which harmony is a habit becomes an alliance against the whole world, a retreat to which you can always return with confidence, a refueling station for the journey of life. Harmony in the home benefits people physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. A home filled with faith toward God and with love toward one another, not condoning sin, but always willing to forgive, trusting God and having the courage to love, is a citadel in time of trouble, and at the same time a comfort, a source of strength for other people who are groping out there to find their way. How wonderful it is, how pleasant, for God's people to live together in harmony. It is like the precious anointing oil running down from Aaron's head and beard, down to the color of his robes, like the dew on Mount Hermon falling on the hills of Zion. That's where the Lord has promised his blessing, life that never ends. Harmony is a habit that needs to be developed. I've known good religious families where harmony was not a habit. Disharmony eventually destroys everything it touches. Harmony requires the effort and even the stern discipline to develop good habits built on trusting faith in God, producing forgiving actions and words toward one another, with good humor that is a whole lot more characteristic of both faith and forgiveness than a sour face. Habits are first cobwebs, and then become cables. A truck farmer said one day, you have to water cucumbers every day. If a lowly cucumber needs that much care, how much more ought we to give attention to our family relationships? Families need to have food on the table for their bodies and also for their souls. People need the daily bread for which the Lord told us all to pray, and also the bread of life which he himself came to give. Both foods are intended to help people to grow, to get rid of the bad habits that destroy, and to develop the good habit, the habit of harmony, that makes life a thing of joy. Slaps and digs may help to enliven family life, but when they become a habit, they begin to erode the harmony of family life. Constant remarks by a husband that his wife would get lost even with a police escort, or by a wife that her husband does not know the difference between a saw and a sawhorse, eventually dig more deeply than they were intended to go. Kidding, which becomes a daily battle of wits, can result in the breakup of a good thing. Showing respect, even to little ones, is an important part of good family life, building up rather than tearing down. Love is a tender plant. It is fragile. It bruises easily. It needs sustenance every day. It can't live on yesterday's love. Every day it is important to take a new step toward harmony in the family, making it a habit to help develop the gifts God gives to everyone, making no slighting comparisons with others, remembering that everyone has feelings, and coming together daily as suppliants before the throne of God's grace to receive forgiveness for life as it was meant to be. We started out this series on family life with the words of St. John, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We went on, remembering the words of St. Paul, "Be kind and tender-hearted to one another, forgiving one another, as God, for the sake of Christ, has forgiven you." Now we say with the psalmist, "How wonderful it is, how pleasant, for God's people to live together in harmony. It is like the precious anointing oil running down from Aaron's head and beard down to the collar of his robes. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon falling on the hills of Zion. It is where the Lord has promised his blessing, life that never ends." The life that never ends, the life that God gives through faith in the Son he sent, keeps love going and growing. Love understands. Love keeps one from flying off the handle at the slightest provocation. Love deals patiently with those who are irritating and irritable. Love is kind, strengthening rather than weakening the family tie. A pastor once asked the men and women in his marriage course to write an answer to this question: how did you compliment your spouse this week? A woman replied, "I thanked my spouse for doing a fine job in fixing the mirror above the bathroom sink." In our house, I would have to thank my wife for doing that. A man said to his wife, "Thank you. The dinner you cooked was wonderful." A wife to her husband, "I told him I was fortunate to have him for my own. I thanked him for being so very patient with me. I thanked him for always being there when I need him." Another man said, "I told her that I love her and I'm proud of her for all she is to me." This pastor then asked, "What effect did this compliment or word of appreciation have on you?" Here are some of the answers. "I felt secure, loved, wanted, worthwhile. It helped me to build up my self-confidence during a time of self-doubt. It made me feel special, appreciated, and I'm going out of my way to do extra things I normally don't bother with." Perhaps you are familiar with the story of the French soldier after World War I who was found suffering from amnesia. He was picked up at a railway station. He looked blankly at his questioners and could only say, "Who am I?" Because he had been disfigured by facial wounds, there were three different families who desperately claimed him as their own. He was taken from one village to another, where these families lived, and allowed to walk and wander by himself. Finally, as he entered the third village, recognition flashed upon his face, and he walked unerringly down a side street, through a tidy gate, and up the steps to his own home. The old familiar surroundings had restored his mind and renewed his memory. Like the prodigal son, he had come to himself, and now he knew who he was and where he belonged. The world is filled with shocked and broken people who have forgotten who they are and where they belong. Ahead of us all lies a road, familiar to some and not so familiar to others, where a star hangs over a manger. It leads to God and to the one whom he has sent, his Son, Jesus Christ. There he was born, and there, only a few miles away, he died. There, only yards away, he was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father. He lives and reigns to give significance and personal worth to people. People who trust him and entrust to him their eternal destiny. It is time to come home. Time to receive the gift God gives. Time for the kindness of God to find you repentant and joyful in his forgiveness. Time to tune up your family life with harmony, making it a helpful habit for yourself and for everyone around you. Time to pray with your brothers and sisters. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen.